gifting is so important, as is branded merch, because sometimes it's the only opportunity you have to very quickly tell a potential client or a member of staff how you feel. And if you get that wrong, woof, it would be much better not to give them anything at all than to give them something wrong.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. I love to give a little shout out to the listeners who are kind enough to take the time to post a review of the show, and I've got one of those to do today. Huge thanks to Mamaki, hope I've got that right, from the UK, for your 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, where you've said, making me money, easy 5 stars. Thanks so much, Chloe, for the pod. I love it. So good. Makes me more money each time I listen to it. Loving that review. Thank you, Mamaki. Really appreciate you listening and really great to hear we are helping you make money and build your business every time you listen in. In this episode, we are talking B2B again after last week, but on a very different angle. We are continuing to explore sustainability and how it presents itself in different e-commerce businesses. And this time we're talking gift. So we're talking to someone from a gift business about how they are trying to change something which I find unbelievably frustrating, which is the amount of awful corporate gifts that get sent around that are not in the least bit sustainable, bits of plastic tat and things you would never use. Well, our guest is on a mission to change all of that, and she'll be telling us about how they're doing it and how they're doing it in how they're going about that, growing their B2B e-commerce business. And they will also be sharing some very cool tips about how they've gone about that growth trajectory as well. So make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on those top tips and my own take on this episode. And now to introduce our special guest. Louise Doyle is the co-founder and CEO of Needy, who are revolutionising corporate gift giving via their Shopify e-commerce site. The website launched in 2021, and to date, they've done £1.5 million in sales. Hello, Lou.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Chloe.
Awesome to have you here. You're running such an interesting business and there's so many bits of it I would love to get into. But first off, how did you end up in the world of e-commerce and starting your own business?
Love that. Purely by fluke. It was definitely, people always ask you, did you always want to work for yourself? Did you always want to be an entrepreneur or do this? And absolutely not. No, it literally came about because my co-founder, Steph, and I, who I must add, we loved working together. We'd worked together for nearly 10 years before we decided to set up on our own. We literally saw a problem that we really believed needed solving, loved working together so much that we thought, do you know what? We should do that together. And then we just absolutely dived in head first. So yeah, that's how we kind of got into it. And the problem itself that we saw was the fact that we were working, we worked for a global group of companies. We had teams all over the world that we had to try and motivate without the biggest budget to motivate them. And so we spent most of our time and our own money and our own time searching for little gifts for them online to make them feel appreciated and trying to get a gift that comes with a message that's wrapped and arrives on time. It's really hard. And that's where the idea for Needy was born. And that's what we came up with.
So you had this idea of let's make our lives easy by having a central place where those who are trying to inspire their teams, send gifts globally, can do it with interesting products that have those notes and that all go out and arrive reliably, which is obviously can be quite the nightmare. How did the sustainability piece come into this? Because I've read quite a few things around you and you're saying that sustainability is in everything you do. So how did that piece come into the mix? Because it's not core to that problem. It doesn't seem immediately obviously to be core to the problem you're trying to solve.
Absolutely. Yeah, great question. Well, the number one thing comes from the fact that we always knew that we wanted to support local businesses. So when I say that we had a global team, you know, we had people literally all over the world. We didn't want to be buying them all gifts from one place and shipping them over. We wanted to find local independent sellers near those people. So that's reducing the carbon footprint, is meaning it's not having to travel so far, but also it's, like I say, really supporting those local businesses. Most of the businesses that we have onboarded since as well, I mean, they're just fantastic. They are run by people who truly want to make an impact on other people and our planet. And that's really one of our very basic tick boxes when we're onboarding new merchants. Obviously, their products have to be incredible. They have to pass all of the tests with us, but they also have to have a really great purpose behind the business too. And that's kind of the sustainability route that we've gone down.
Got you. So tell us a bit about Needy. Where in the world are you and where are you selling to at the moment? Obviously, you're delivering everywhere. Are you selling everywhere as well?
Yes, a great question. And where in the world are we? I mean, we're all over the place, Chloe. I mean, I am literally halfway in between Belfast and Dublin. My co-founder, Steph, is in Manchester and our team are all over the UK. So we ourselves are a fully remote team. Our merchants that we work with, those independent businesses, again, predominantly UK, but as we're expanding, we've got more that are overseas as well. And in answer to your question, yes, we are learning the trials and tribulations of selling products all over the world, and it's complex.
Yeah, you can quickly realize why it's so much of a problem, but if you've got a mind to fix it, it is fixable, but you have to actually care in the first place, don't you? And you're doing corporate gifting, essentially, and to put it in its simplest way, are you doing like the ordinary pens and notebooks and mugs that we've all come to expect, you know, and the water bottles and all of that? Or are you doing something a bit different with your clients?
Oh, I love that question. And to answer it, I actually will start off with the whole story, like the backstory a little bit fit for Needy. So initially, it wasn't actually just going to be a corporate gifting site. It was actually going to be D2C as well. And that's still in our business plan. And we'll get to that bit in the next couple of years. So when I was pregnant with my first daughter, Ella, I got a few lovely maternity gifts and they were all wonderful. But one of my favourite gifts was something that my friend got me, which was a cleaner for 3 hours. So I'd never had a cleaner before and I really did need one. She was absolutely right. And it was fantastic. The cleaner came in, she like made me feel human again, like helped me out for a few hours. And I cannot even tell you how it felt imminently life-changing at the time. I tell you this because I'm now really proud to say that some of our corporate clients, for their maternity gifts, instead of it always being like a bunch of flowers or, you know, being a baby grow that's too small and they never get to wear, they've actually started giving things like cleaners, freshly cooked meal delivery boxes, so they're getting fresh meals delivered, and other really practical services. Now, your question was, do we also do the pens and the merchandise? Yes, Chloe, we do. And we do those because there is a need for people to give out branded gifts. I think we know something, what is it? Somebody, if they get a branded pen or a piece of merch, I think they're more likely to remember your brand name for literally the next 6 years or something crazy. So we know it does work. But our aim is when we get the orders in, whether it's for a maternity gift or whether it is for an event, branded merch, that kind of thing, instead of just saying, great, what's your budget? Let's go. We actually have a list of psychology-based questions about what they're trying to achieve, what's most important to them, how they want people to feel. And from that, we try and help them make the best choices by finding the best products from local independent businesses that aren't going to be thrown away.
It's something which I forever mull, is how we get consumers to make better buying choices. Because it's easy for us to go, yeah, we're all more sustainable and all the rest of it. So for you, it's a case of kind of hand holding. So do your clients tend to come to your website going, we want to do better? Or do they come to your website going, oh, cool, you've got some pretty pens. can we buy your pretty pens? And then you have to convince them. So are you kind of like forcing them along the journey or are you helping them along the journey?
I love it because it's both. We absolutely have some clients. And I do love those ones, well, the ones that come and they're like, we've got an event, you know, we normally do cups and pens. We don't think we want to do that anymore. We think we want to do something different, but we're not sure. And when they come to us, I love it because, you know, we sit there, we can like really have a good old, like we become almost an extension of their marketing team, really. We're like, come on, who do you want to be? Who's your brand? Whatever. And we come up with some, you know, we always try and range, right, from the slightly similar to the pens and the notebooks and things to something completely out there that people haven't maybe seen before. And actually, one of my favorite things about working with our clients is that journey that we take them on. Usually, I'm going to say the first time they work with us, they're usually a bit like, a bit more, yeah, they'll maybe go with like the pens plus something else, you know, they'll go with something basic. Then the longer they work with us, like the cooler and the more out there the gifts can be that they offer. I think the other day we had a client that finally moved from doing that to some branded fruit because that's what their brand was all about. And it was way more sustainable. They had these really cool like apples and oranges and bananas with their branding like imprinted on it. And we thought, yeah, that was actually that was so much more show-stopping than what they initially would have done.
I love that. That creativity is very cool. But you're talking a lot about working with the clients and everything, but yet you also have an e-commerce site. So how do you balance I assume you have some of your customers just come and order and disappear, and then you've got others who need more of the hand-holding. How do you balance that perennial challenge of the B2B e-commerce business? What gets automated and what gets handheld?
Wow, yeah. And that is an everlasting question, that one, isn't it? So yeah, we do have the ones that come through and just order and go. To be fair, we have an incredible customer success team. So we don't really just let them go. They might order through us, but we will still try. We would still always try and get a call in with them, check if there's anything else that we can help with. Check the thing that they ordered. Was that exactly what they wanted? Like, have they definitely put the specs in right? Does our merchant understand everything? So we are quite human heavy still at the moment. We do that because our ethos is about matching the perfect product to the recipient. And as we are training our AI in the background, because of all of the amazing stuff that our humans are doing, the more data, the more information, the more we can gather from that, the better we're going to get at matching the perfect gifts, you know, as we scale as well.
So the e-commerce becomes more of a transactional channel, but it doesn't really affect the level of service someone can expect, because that's your point of, as well as the product, that becomes your point of difference. So you mentioned the AI there, and I would say this is one of the things I found super fascinating on your request to come on and be a guest, is that you're building an AI to help with the gift selection process, which I've spent my career working at many points on gifting businesses, and the board of the business always wants a gift helping agent, you know, a gift selector, all the rest of it. And it's always shockingly bad. You know, it's kind of like one of those things where you go, AI could actually potentially fix this, you know. So how are you going about that? Is it up and live on the website right now? Is it something you're working on in the background? How does one create a gift finder that works? Without giving away all your secrets,
without
of course.
All the secrets, absolutely. I would say it's as good as the questions you're asking and the data you're collecting. And what we are doing with Needy is we are asking the buyer of the gift about the recipient. In time, we're also getting feedback from the recipient as well. And I think by really spending that extra thought process behind why you want to buy someone a gift, how you want them to feel, all those kind of much more soft touch things. I think most other gift finders really do focus on, you know, your budget, which box can I fit it in, what else have you bought separately. But when you actually strip it back to the relationship between the person that is buying and the person that's receiving and how you want them to feel, there's suddenly a whole world more questions that can kind of come out and help you find that perfect gift. Also, we've had a lot of practice doing it now over the last few years. And I think that all the learnings that we've got from our human team into that are, again, what makes it really different.
Do you think it will ever be finished, the training of the AI tool?
Oh, I don't feel I can say yes, Chloe. No, there's just so much more. We've got so many more stages of our rollout as well, like to get more data points, to get more feedback in, to train it, to get better. So, no, I think it's a firm no, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, because it's when it is so open with that question and answering piece, it's got to be, and it's kind of like, why would you stop it from learning, I suppose, as well?
To me, also, the most important thing is it's that balance, right? Because, yes, of course, AI absolutely can solve so many things. I'm sure you and I in our daily life are using it for, you know, so many more things than we ever anticipated. But we maybe thought initially that we were going to train the AI, a bit like you said, it was going to be fixed, it was going to work, and it was going to go. But what we're really learning about, especially like the large corporates that we're working with, gifting is so important, as is branded merch, because sometimes it's the only opportunity you have to very quickly tell a potential client or a member of staff how you feel. And if you get that wrong, woof, like actually, you know, it would be much better not to give them anything at all than to give them something wrong. And sometimes when we're working with these large clients, the stakes are quite high on the gifts that they're giving, and the budget can be quite high too. And even though we've got AI in the background that's really helping us to select, them knowing that they have got humans, almost that concierge service as well, just kind of helping oversee that project with them that also care about the outcome of those gifts or that merchandise, I think that's one of the things that's setting us apart at the moment. It's the way we're working with the AI with that really human touch to make it super personal.
Yeah, I can see a time where you've got the corporate side of the business where there's that extra concierge element coming in, the human element. And then the D2C side of the business is very much hands-off using the AI, and then it evolves in that way. But another question I've got to ask you, because you're kind of running a marketplace business in that you've got all these other people, you know, putting their products on your website, you're buying from them and selling to other people. The chicken and egg question, you know, to have a marketplace, you've got to have lots of suppliers. Suppliers don't want to be on there until you've got lots of sales. How do you manage the growth in the supplier base versus the growth in the client base as the business goes on? Because I can imagine it must be, you know, we're at the moment in the spring, we just had a lot of the big product fairs. So there could be a whole load of things. You're like, we've got to get them on the website, got to get them on the website. But it's very easy to get focused on that and get distracted. So how do you balance those two hungry parts of the business?
Oh, absolutely. You're right. And in fact, as you're saying it, you can't see it with my hands, but you know, my hands are going up and down like some scales here, you know, because you're right. You absolutely have to get that balance right. And in the early days, we actually began very much, we decided we wanted a core contingent of amazing independent businesses that we could then, it was quite easy really, because we just said to them, look, we're your extended sales team. You tell us what amazing products you have and who you want to sell your products to. And me and my team are going to go and introduce you to these, you know, amazing businesses. And then we did that, you know, we got on a few businesses and then we were like, okay, great. Now we need a few more merchants. So we, you know, it was sort of going backwards and forwards like that. But the next stage actually of our journey is we found that a lot of our best merchants or our best independent businesses with these incredible products, a lot of them, part of it is that they've got this incredible product that they have created and that we just love selling because it's so unique into some of these businesses. But a lot of it is very much based as well on the business owner or the founder of the business too. And the ones that can create, you know, created these incredible products. But when we have a call from like a ginormous corporate that wants, you know, hundreds of thousands of these things branded to their people and sent out here, it's the ones that can also very quickly go, okay, I know my product doesn't 100% do all this, but I can make those tweaks and changes to make this order perfect. So as a result of that, what we're now doing is we're actually working with some accelerators and actually a couple of investors and people as well that have access to pools of sort of, I suppose, startups and scale-ups that are kind of in a similar position to us, where they've got these, yeah, founders of amazingly new and cool products that our corporate companies are going, wow, these are amazing products that they've already seen before. And the businesses are really pivoting whenever we ask them to, you know, deliver these fantastic orders. So we're now finding clusters, yeah.
So would it be fair to say that almost the mindset of the founder is as important as the quality of the product?
Yes, completely. Because that mindset of the founder is the difference as to whether they will help get an order. You know, when something inevitably happens, the delivery goes wrong, a last minute change happens, the client sent the wrong picture for the logo, or all these things. And that mindset is the difference between that person being able to turn around quickly, find a solution and deliver some amazing results, or going, oh, no, we didn't get the right picture. So that client's not going to have all of the stuff for their event on the 23rd of March.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives our listeners and me some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So Louise, are you ready for the top tips?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Let's start with the book top tip then. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Great. So I would recommend Disciplined Entrepreneurship by Bill Ollett. I don't know if you could tell from our chat, Chloe, but I'm not naturally a very disciplined sort of person. And going through these, I think it's the 24 steps, I think it is, for a successful startup. You could read this at any stage in your company's growth, because what it did for us is it reminded me how important it is to go back to the beginning and make sure that you've ticked all the right boxes.
I like that. Not one I've come across before. So, who was the author again?
Bill Ollett, A-U-L-E-T. And I had the privilege of going over to Boston a few weeks ago to one of his lectures, and he's incredible in person as well.
Oh, it's always good when someone whose book you really appreciate is just as good when you see them on stage.
You try not to fangirl it in the audience, yeah, absolutely.
Yep, yep. Been there. No, Chloe, stay in your seat. The traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Okay, so I am going a little left field with this one. So, of course, we all know, you know, email marketing and all the different methods of, you know, absolute lifeblood for companies like us. However, in real life, human contact, I'm going to put it out there. I think that some of the recent events that we've been to, where we've actually done a combination of perhaps one of us has done a talk on the stage, someone else has had a little stand, we've then gone and networked with people in between. Because of the high lifetime value of a lot of our clients, actually being out there and seeing them in person at these events has been absolutely fantastic with us. And then we have doubled that up with a little bit of PR as well. So when you've got, you know, a few articles going out, we found that that has really driven a really high increase in our website traffic. And the combination of the two has resulted in some really great sales lately.
Yeah, there's definitely, when you're trying to do those more service intensive or connection intensive, if you can see people in like the 4D real world where you're 3D and you're moving, it's like, it can have so much impact, couldn't it? And then, if you want to make the most out of any event, do something other than just go to the event.
Hugely. We're actually finding that sometimes from events over a year ago, we still get like a steady stream of people that go, oh, I saw you at that event, or I heard you talk there, or I came to your stand there. And it's so interesting because I suppose it's that extra bit that's, you know, so if they, when they get the email marketing for us or the social media thing or whatever, I'm a real person. My team's a real person. They're all real people that they've met before, which is fantastic.
The tool top tip then, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
So 100% for me, it has been having a virtual assistant, which I had a real mental block against and a financial block against initially, where I thought, I can't afford this. And oh my gosh, can I really be that person? And then suddenly, since the amazing Nicola has entered my life and helped with all these things, gosh, I mean, I felt like she's paid for herself 10 times over. One, she saved me all the money on the things that I accidentally would have double booked or forgot to unsubscribe to and all of those things. And equally, it's got to a stage now where, yeah, she's really helping me collaborate in a much more efficient way with the team as well.
Any advice for someone who's in the same position as you were? How did you find your right VA and how did you make it work? Because I think everyone's VA experience is slightly different. So I'd love to know how you approached yours.
And completely pure, honest transparency when I spoke to her. Like, no, didn't try and hide anything. Didn't try and pretend I was more organized than I was. Just almost went to her a bit sort of sweaty and sort of went, oh gosh, this is the situation that I'm in. Does that scare you? How would you deal with that? And gave her a few real life scenarios. And she was able to just make me feel calm immediately. And I think it was a bit like a dating situation. Like, you just have that feeling, you know, went from having nervous butterflies to that real lovely kind of, oh, I'm quite looking forward to talking to you again. And she responded to all of my questions afterwards and the follow-up so quickly, because obviously made sure that I left her a few things that to see how quickly she'd respond and how she did it. And it's been brilliant ever since. Match made in heaven.
Excellent. So you go, anyone who's sitting on the fence, give it a go. Hugely game changers are virtual assistants. So the last top tip, the carbon top tip, what's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Love it. Well, for us, it's all about our merchants that we use that sell the products, right? So if we can match gifts and we can get people to order from a business that's just down the road from them instead of getting them to order from somewhere that's overseas, that's our absolute number one aim. And secondly, it's about making sure, again, for us, that all of the products that we're selling are not going to go to landfill. We know that one in five gifts end up in landfill normally. So we're all about making sure that those products and services that we spoke about at the beginning are things that people aren't going to throw away. And that's our commitment. I think it's making sure that we as a business know that the products and things that we are selling, fantastic quality, hopefully are coming from a local business nearby and supporting, and are run by people that have the planet and people in mind.
I love that. Straight back to the product. So often in e-commerce, it has to be the product. Lou, thank you so much. It's been really fascinating understanding your business and how you're weaving sustainability into what you're doing for you and your customers. Before we say goodbye, I'm sure lots of the people listening are either thinking, oh, I wonder if we could sell with Lou. And then the other half are wondering, oh, maybe Lou can solve my gifting problems. So could you please let them know where they can get in contact with you and find out more about your business?
Absolutely. I really hope that is the case. We are always looking for amazing independent businesses that want to crack into that corporate world. And we do. We work with some of literally the world's leading corporate businesses now on everything from their branded merch to their new starter gifts and everything in between. So if you are interested in doing that, then the best thing to do would be to email Lizzie. And her email address is lizzie.scholes@needy.co.uk, which I'm hoping I can send you after this. And then from a client perspective, I would highly recommend visiting needy.co.uk and getting in contact with us. And absolutely, we can help with everything from, all of your gift matching needs.
Awesome. We will add that email address to the show notes page so you can all go and get correct spelling and all those other good things. Lou, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I wish you all the success in the world in your business, because you just seem to be creating goodness for everybody. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Such a pleasure. Thanks, Chloe.
Great to chat with Lou there. I think key takeaways for me from that one. There's a lot to think about there, I think. Primarily for me, I think that difficulty of getting the right recommendations and how, if you really want to wow your gift buying customers so they can wow their customers, there's a lot of work to be done on helping them get the right product, whether you're doing the B2B sales or you're doing the B2C sales. I love Lou's commitment to sustainability kind of in the core of the business. You know, what products are you selling first and foremost? And then her explanations and her extrapolations on how you're then weighing up. Do you go after more products or do you go after more customers? Which do you do at which point in time? Definitely plenty to think about there. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including if you want to try and sell your products to Needy, the email addresses for that. The top tips and the links to the things we mentioned by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com for all of that. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right episode page. And when you get to the website, why not join our email list so you get more cool stuff from us? If you like this episode, then make sure you check out episode 513, where we spoke to Asghar, the founder of successful B2C gift business Gifts Online For You, if you want more gifting stuff. And if you'd like more B2B content, then why not head to ecmp.info/B2B. That's the number 2 in there for all our B2B episodes. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Me and the team bring you a new interview every week to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including becoming more sustainable. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.